D2. Number 14B.
Or I can take in a little bit of the word as Christianity sense in that chart and can see, well, how does really that affect men? And I begin to realize, life, truth and love is really expressing itself, reflecting itself as men. Therefore, life, truth and love is the law of men. It's the law of men. It's reflecting itself as mind, as spirit, as soul, and principle, and life, and truth, and love, and that's what has been called man. Therefore, I begin to realize in mind that man is not a thinker. He's the thought of. Can you say that? That he's the thought of. He's not a thinker. We say quite naturally, and we are going to say it quite for a long time, because we always have to be sensible. We are still living in the world. We still have the language of communication adapted to the situation. We should say, well, he's a wonderful thinker. Actually, nobody is a wonderful thinker, because nobody is a thinker about God. There is only life, truth and love making mind express itself as a thinker, as man who has been thought by mind. And therefore we are not a reflector of spirit. It is that life, truth and love says, as spirit I reflect myself. So we are never reflecting God. We are being made reflecting God, so to say. We are not going to identify ourselves with God anymore at this point. We are not. That's metaphysics. It's all right. It's wonderful. I'm going to teach it for the next few years. But for myself, I'm not going to do it. I'm going to teach something which I'm not going to do myself. See, usually one says a good teacher is that who lives what he says. I'm not going. I'm going to teach what I feel is right at every level, where I feel I have to. But for myself, I say, why should I be an identifier with God? I can't anymore. I can only see that life, truth and love says, I am soul. And that through the impulsion of life, truth and love, that soul says, I'm going to identify every one of us. Because to identify me. And so I'm the identified of God. I'm the named of God. I'm the blessed of God. And I'm the blessed of God not just by soul who names and blesses and identifies. It's much bigger. It's that dynamic which life, truth and love says, this identification of me goes on completely every moment in a new way. Because I'm life, I'm always new. I identify you always in a new form, never as the same old boy. I'm going to identify you through love always in a form that is adapted to the situation. That it's made according to measure. That's love. And so we feel, in principle, that man cannot be a demonstrator of God and cannot demonstrate God. But that life, truth and love says, I'm the only demonstrating principle. And as principle, I demonstrate man. Not that man is going to demonstrate principle. At that point, principle is demonstrating me. Isn't that nicer? It's much nicer, but much harder. That big boy, life, truth and love, is going to demonstrate me in a different way than what I like. That we have to take into account. There is there is the point where we have to let go of the I completely. Where it leads us there, where principle wants us to live. You know, since about 15 years, I have made a plan. I have made a plan. I said, I'm not having a pension when I'm 65. A nice cannot retire and have a nice pension. So I better look after myself so that I can go on working as long as the Lord wants me to go on working. But I have to be sensible. And so I said to myself, I'm going to have 3 years work and one sabbatical year every other term. That was 15 years ago. I haven't had a single one yet. Last year I said to you, I said, now I stop teaching and I stop giving classes, so don't expect anything from me. I'm going to have a real good sabbatical year. I had had the most busiest year than ever. It just doesn't work, you know. It just doesn't work. Even your best intentions don't work. I couldn't demonstrate principle, my principle. Principle jolly well said, now I'm going to demonstrate you. And principle said, no sabbatical year. Well, but you see, that will happen over and over and over, and should happen. That's the right thing. That we stop trying to apply principle for our wonderful plans, because we mean so well, so it must be so right. It isn't. It isn't. Principle demonstrates itself, we say. Yes, but behind principle is life, truth, and love, which says, I'm going to demonstrate principle as man, the way I like it. I impel him to do it as life. I make him do just that form which truth has in mind. I'm just going to lead him that path to that aim where love wants me to go. So this is that receptive sense where which we have towards the chart, just to accept. Be open to it, accept it, and let it happen. Yes, then we can see that Christianity not only has that usually that sense that it brings back the idea to its principle, but that it resolves error. So that divine cybernator in us is that which is constantly on the guard and can foresee where there may be a loophole, you say? A loophole where error could enter. And every good cybernator just warns us in advance and says, here comes along little error and wants to get in. I shut the door and then I can go on straight in, and error is eliminated. So let's see that this chart also eliminates error in a self-correcting way. And so I say, all right, up to now perhaps we have been thinking that the true idea of mind is destroying any sense of mortal belief, of mortal mind, of false thinking. Yes. But we had to think about that, more or less. But if I combine it with the levels of absolute Christian science, I begin to see not only that life, truth, and love is the law of my mind, the law of my thinking, therefore is not only the law of my intelligence and the law of my action and inspiration and so on, but that that life, truth, and love is also the law of annihilating the belief in anything outside of that one mind. I begin to see at that point that the impulsion of life, the factual sense of that impulsion of truth, and the fulfilled sense, the loving sense of that impulsion, just says, I take care of your thought. I exclude all wrong thinking. I exclude all mortal mind thinking. I exclude false motives. And so annihilates, rejects it, eliminates it by itself. In metaphysics, on the level of metaphysics, which is below the chart, we have a hell of a time to exclude error, to exclude wrong thinking. And it's a hell of a time because of two reasons. First, we think we have to do it with our thinking. We have to do it. And second, because we have a false sense of what has to be excluded. How can human mind know what is right and wrong? And so in metaphysics, usually we demonstrate the wrong things. Just as the law of causality usually demonstrates the wrong things. They do demonstrate something, but always the wrong thing, which makes no sense in the whole. On the level of metaphysics, we decide what is right and what is wrong, because we think we know what is right and what is wrong, and we don't. There is only life, truth, and love as impulsion of mind, which knows what is right and what is wrong. And so we get a much freer sense of dealing with evil and all sorts of beliefs if we see, oh, mind knows its own idea. And that mind's own idea excludes all that is wrong. That's the statement. But if I enlarge it and see that life, truth, and love make my mind, so to say, express the right idea and exclude the wrong concept, which is then absolutely right and wrong, then I really feel I'm well taken care of. I feel I don't even know what has to be excluded. I don't not even know which error may come along if I stay in that rhythmic round of knowing that life, truth, and love is the law of my intelligence, then it is also the law of annihilating everything which is unreasonable, which is unintelligent, which is wrong. So life, truth, and love is, as spirit, really the law of my unfoldment. And that annihilates by itself all wrong developments, all wrong orderings, all wrong unfoldment. If life, truth, and love is the law of soul, therefore the law of ruling, the law of control, then I know I don't have control of a situation. I don't have to control me. I don't have to control my thoughts. Then I have a higher control. I still control the thoughts, but not more I, but life, truth, and love control my thoughts, control my body, control my being, control my very life, controls, and shuts out every interference. There is no more interference because it's under control. Or I can go to principle and see, well, principle is the governing power of any system that we know. And so we said, all right, principle governs every system. Right. But it gives a bit a sense of just statement. Whereas if we see, but there is dynamic in it, life, truth, and love impel principle, and gives me an impelling sense of that principle which says it's controlling every system. And therefore is already also controlling every mortal system, every bodily system, every organic system, every psychological system, every sociological system, any political system, and so on. I just don't have then any more that statement sense that principle governs the universe. I then have the higher sense that life, truth, and love, constantly anew in another way, constantly awake, is as principle governing the universe, and thereby shutting out all false government. Can I make myself clear the difference between just having the level of Christian Science and of combining it on the other side with the level of at least absolute Christian Science, naturally, afterwards, if possible, with divine science, and taking in that as one idea, the idea of being. Well, the idea of being is not an atomistic sense of a little dot in being. So that life, truth and love is the law of my life. It's the law of my life. Life, capital L. Because I have no other life but that life which is capitalized. God. I cannot be less than all of God. I nearly said I cannot be less than God. Actually, we can't. Actually, we can't. If the we is out, then there is only God, and God is all in all. That's why we come more and more back to understand Mrs. Eddy's statements in the first edition of Science and Health, where she said, if we are spirit, and things like that, can we be less than being? Can the infinite be split up? We can't. And that was the big accusation against Jesus. So, let's see that life, truth and love is the law of life. The law of my life. Therefore, is the father of my life. And this shuts out and annihilates and eliminates and corrects everything which has a false sense of life. False sense of support. False sense of provision and providing, false sense of maintenance and everything. Life, truth and love is the law of my truth. It's the law of truth, and therefore it's the law of my truth and your truth. But that truth is capitalized because it's truth itself. And so you begin to feel that life, truth and love is the true standard of manhood. It's the law of the true standard of manhood. And that shuts out and eliminates and annihilates any false sense of manhood. Is that mystical if I see that? No, it's not mystical. It's just that wonderful deduction which says, if life, truth and love is the law of my standard of manhood, then I begin to see that I must have another standard of manhood, namely, to see that man is nothing else but life, truth and love knowing itself. And I have the true sense of man. And that shuts out my sense that I am a mortal, that I am a mortal with spiritual sense, that I am a mortal who likes to know God, that I am a mortal reaching out for God, that I am mortal filling myself with good thoughts and with good ideas. All that is shut out. All that religious sense of approach that I am somebody who is filling his consciousness with right ideas is chucked out. Well, we will still say to many people who say, well, fill your thoughts with God. And that's certainly something better than fill your thoughts with all devilish things. But we are scientists. And as a scientist, we are not filling our thoughts with God. Life, truth and love, jolly well look after that and impel it as truth that manhood is the whole sense of manhood. If we like it or don't like it, it enforces itself on us. And if we willingly accept that it comes from there, instead of trying that we have to come to the true sense of manhood, if we accept that influx from above, then it's easier. Then it expands man and manhood terrifically. I lose the sense of being a mortal, of having to reach God. So life, truth and love are really the law of my love, capital L. Life, truth and love are really then the majestic planner of my life. I don't have to plan out my life. I don't have to think anymore about sabbatical years and when to work and when to work like hell and when to get peace that I want. It doesn't work. It just doesn't work anymore. The moment we touch being, being takes over. And we have nothing to say anymore in it. We just have to accept it, what it's going to happen. If we don't accept it, see, if we don't accept it, that's chemicalization. That's all there is about it. We chemicalize. We chemicalize terrifically. It can knock us over. And it does knock people over. If they don't accept the higher idea. It crashes them to pieces. It makes the Judas a Judas. So, life, truth and love is the law of my life then. It takes over, it guides me, leads me, unfolds me, identifies me, governs me, exalts me, has dominion over me and says, I show you what is your destiny. You can't know it. Can anybody of us know what our destiny is? Can anybody know about here who knows what he has to achieve in life? Not one of us knows. Not one of us. If we don't know it, well, let life, truth and love impel it on us, that love leads us to there where we have to be led to. Let it happen. Let it happen. So that gave us a bit Christianity sense, still in that word, you see, word as Christianity. We still also can get a sense of science in it. There where we put out the I and we, as I have still been thinking about, I still was saying it was the law of my being, that it, that mind and I are one, that Immanuel is God with me. In science, in the world of science, the me and the we and so on, even in the best and highest sense, goes out. And I begin to realize then, in that word statement, in that self-declaration of God, I see that here, life, truth and love, impelling itself on the level of Christian science, just says, life, truth and love is the only mind. No more my mind, no more your mind, no more the mind of all, no more the mind of man. It's just the only mind. What does that mean? I quite agree that at the first instance there are words. But in the quietude of one's pondering and thinking it out and saying, now, what did that chap say? Life, truth and love is the only mind. It's the only spirit. What does that mean? It means that life, truth and love is the only activity of mind there ever is. It's the only mind that exists. But that mind is a very impelling mind. It's a very factual mind. It's a very fulfilling mind. But it's the only mind. Therefore it also tells me that in life, truth and love, there is no other mind. There is no other spirit. There is no other soul, no other principle, no other life, no other truth, no other love. God, think of it. That one, the moment one feels that life, truth and love says, I'm at work. I'm at work constantly. And life, truth and love is the only mind. Therefore, there is no other mind at work. There is no other impulsion of any other mind. There is no other factual sense of any other mind. There is no other purpose in any other mind. Then I get really a scientific sense of it. And so I can do the same thing about spirit and see, well, life, truth and love is the only spirit. It's not just spirit. But it is the only spirit, and therefore there can be no other spirit. Now, if it is the only spirit, then that spirit is impelled by life, is made factual by life, is made fulfilled by life, and therefore says, no other spirit has any impulsion on me, has never any facts that it can present to me, that it has never any purpose and sense and fulfillment which it can, still is illusion me. I feel a sense that no error can come nigh to me anymore and say, I am also. I am also life, truth and love. I can also impel something. I can also present facts to you. I can also achieve something. All that falls away. There is no other mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth and love. The moment I have that impelling sense of life, truth and love being the only mind, the only spirit, the only soul, the only principle, the only life, the only truth, the only love. What it means, think it out yourself. I can't say it, because even if I would say it, it would be too small. St. John said that all that could be said about it would fill the whole a library which would fill the whole world. So we can't write everything. We can't say everything. Thank God. Because that would be the old way of education. The dot-like education. The atomic-like education. Saying people what they have to think. But infinitude would be telling infinite points to think. Infinite dots to think. Today we see all we need is structure. If we have the structure of being, and that is simple, that can be stated in simple language, and then if we feel the warmth of structure, then that structure becomes warm. Why? It lends itself to infinite elaboration, to infinite expansion, to infinite broadening out, to infinite rising higher. It lends itself to infinite depth. So let's be that boy Gauss, as a symbol, who is not going to say, yes, I take this thing serious. I really put some good work into this Christian Science. I'm going to take so and so many hours, and I just add 1 to 2, and then 2 with 3, and then from 3 to 4. You see, as all those kids have been doing, except Gauss, who said, no. No, I see structure, and structure tells me everything. Structure tells us everything. That's why modern education is teaching much more with charts. With charts. Not with surveys, with charts. Not every chart is a chart. Not every chart is a model. I can put into a chart, say, the life of Shakespeare, oh, we don't know that well enough, of Goethe, and say, well, in one column I put all about Goethe's life, when he was born, when he went to school, when he was married, when he went on this traveling, and when he did. And on the other line in the chart, I put in all what he has been writing. In another column of the chart, I put in all what happened politically in his lifetime. On another column, I put in all what has been going on in other scientific and philosophical field and put that in. It helps enormously to have a survey, but that's not a chart as we mean it, a model. In cybernetic, a chart or a model, really it's a model, I didn't know that term properly before I named it the chart. There, in a real chart, in a real model, you see, each part of the chart has its specific relationship to every other part of it, and not just a statement by itself, not just a comparison with one or the other point in it, but it's a self-organized system, you see. And so, in schools today, they begin to teach children with charts, because charts give always structure. They don't give pinpointed knowledge. And therefore, we will see that a new sense of education will bring forth in the younger generation, in the measure as this is developed, a new structure of handling things, namely in a structural way. And this is what I feel we have to see too. All right, here we stop.